I was thinking about that last song that we sang. By the way, thank you, Phil. The last song that we sang talked about God coming back to take us home. And the thought went through my mind, every one of us here this morning is sometime going to face that. He's going to come back to take us home. We don't know when, but He is. That's a fact. How I live this week is going to determine my outcome. How you live this coming week is going to determine the outcome. That's something for us to think about. That's just a little bit extra. It's not the direction we're going with our message this morning. But I have before me here a message that I have titled Discerning God's Will. And this has to do with our ordination coming up. I'd like to share a verse at the beginning here, Psalm 119, verse 66. It says this, it says, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." And I'm just going to leave that verse right there. Here in about 2 weeks, a little less than 2 weeks, you're going to be given a piece of paper, and this is considered a ballot. And if you're a member here, you're going to write on that piece of paper who you think should be our next deacon. Is this a big deal? Is the work of the church a big deal? Does it mean that just preachers and deacons are big deals? No. We're all a big deal. Why? Because this building is not the church. You are the church. I am the church. Together we form the church. That's a big deal. It's eternal. It's not just something for a bit. But God's church is never going to die. It's a big deal. So we take this ballot and we fill out this ballot with a name. Can that be just somebody that I'm thinking off the top of my head and I'm not really going to contemplate it? I'm not really going to think about it until that Friday night. So this ballot gets passed out and I take this ballot and I sit down and maybe I look at my wife a little bit. Who are you thinking about? And we put a name on that ballot. I want to challenge us this morning that now is the time to prepare for that ballot. Now is the time to begin our discernment. Actually, it should have happened before this already. But let's say now is the time for us to be thinking about discerning God's will, not next Friday night, but now. And I hope I can explain a little bit as I go through this message this morning what I'm talking about. Will my relationship with Jesus that I have right now affect how I'm going to fill out this ballot? Will my relationship with those around me affect how I fill out this ballot? I guess I want us just to really think about the importance of a name that we put on this ballot. Because this is not some game. It's not just a game and we hope so and such a person gets voted in as deacon. But this is a time when we seek God and we discern through Him what name we should put on there. Maybe I have a preconceived idea of how this should go. That may not be wrong. But let's sense God's leadership. Let's sense God's will and where He's going to take us. So what is discernment? Discernment is to perceive something, or in this case, to perceive who. It's knowing what name to put on the ballot on March 12th. Now, I'm going to look at three words this morning, and just I want to use the word tear into these words, but that doesn't sound very friendly. But three words that we want to look at this morning that have to do with discerning God's will. And as I looked at this, there's so many more that I could have added into, but I decided to keep it just to three. The first word that we want to think about this morning is confidence. What is confidence? Confidence is a feeling or belief
that one can rely on someone or something, having a firm trust in someone or something. I can rely on my wife. I can trust in my wife. I have confidence in my wife. She's earned it. Now, do we want to say that Jesus has earned our confidence? He is God, so He's God regardless of what I think. I want to make sure we understand that this morning. But yet there's a confidence that we want to have in Him. Confidence is also the state of feeling certain about the truth of something. So the first part of confidence here, I want us to think about God. How we can trust Him. How we don't have to have any doubts. Because He doesn't lie. He doesn't change. He's true. He's someone that we can set a mark on and go according to Him. He uses the Word to show us that. The second part of it is knowing the truth about something. The Scriptures are true. We don't have to doubt the Scriptures. God is in the Scriptures. Now we can take this book, and I can give you this book, and I can say, here, this is going to give you new life. In a sense, that's true, but yet this book is pages. But what this book is about, who this book is about, is going to change our life. It will change our life. So it's really not the book. Yes, this is the Word of God. But it's really not the leather and the paper that we have here. But it's what's in the book. And allowing God to use that to direct us. It's like a roadmap. We shared that before. So having confidence in God, having confidence in the Scriptures. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look at just a couple of verses there. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So since He is our confidence, He says here, trust, that means to put confidence. I can put my confidence in Him. I have confidence that He is true. So I can put my confidence in the Lord with all my heart. That gives me a courage to step out in faith to fulfill His desires, to bless Him. If I have confidence in Him, my mind is going to be turned towards Him, and that's going to give me direction concerning our vote, concerning the ballot, concerning the ordination. So how do I gain that, or how do I have that trust or confidence? What is the process to get to the place where I'm comfortable in having this confidence in Him? And then I have a question I'll throw out, and I'll let you think about this as we go through our time this morning. Can I truly be His disciple without trusting Him? Let's go back to confidence. Confidence in God comes through spending time with Him. The amount of time I spent with God this week, whether it's on my knees, whether it's in the Word, whether it's fellowshipping with brothers and sisters and talking about Him, about Scripture, the amount of time that I spent this week, was it enough that I could gain confidence in God? I gained confidence by seeing Him answer prayer. If I were to ask you this morning really quickly, did God answer a prayer for you this morning? Would you have an answer? I'm not going to ask you to answer that right now, but let's say I just came to you and I specifically asked you, did God this week answer a specific prayer for you? Would it be on the tip of your tongue because God did? I gain confidence in God when I hear others share their stories. Stories about how God has blessed them. How God has answered their prayers. Do I have confidence in God that He's going to lead us together as a body? into the right direction for this ordination. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." I want to have that confidence on my innermost being. But that's not going to happen if I don't spend time with Him. Alone time. Seeking His face. The rest of that verse there says, "And lean not unto thine own understanding." Lean talks about resting. And that's where so many times we want to go. We want to lean on our own understanding, our own wisdom. It's good to have wisdom. It's good to have knowledge. But when it comes to making decisions like this, I believe we need to go to God and allow Him to show us, to direct us. Let the Spirit move in our hearts, resting on the assurance that He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. Knowledge isn't wrong. You know, there's some of you here, many of you here, that if we sat down and we started talking about earthly wisdom, you'd outdo me pretty quick. Nothing wrong with earthly knowledge, with earthly wisdom. But we need wisdom from above. The next word I want to look at is commit. Now that we know that we have confidence in God, we have confidence in His Word, we commit. Commit is to obligate or to pledge oneself. Again, let's go to Proverbs chapter 16. Really close to where we've been before. In verse 3, he says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." So what is it to commit? Again, to commit is to trust. It's more than just something verbal. It's something that happens on the inside. It's an action. It's a thing. Another word for commit is to wallow. What do you think about when you think about wallowing? Dig in the mud. A pig in the mud. Okay. Sorry, I misunderstood. A pig in the mud. All right, we have a pig pen. And we have a deep mud hole in this pig pen. We open up and we let a nice clean pig inside there. What's the pig going to do? The pig's going to go to the mud. And it's going to wallow. It's going to bury itself in there. Hopefully its head is still on top. That's the idea of commit. When I come to God and I want to commit to God, I'm not going to just step into the water ankle deep. But I'm going to get in and I'm going to wallow. I'm going to love to be in His presence. I'm going to try to keep my head out so I can breathe, but I'm going to wallow. I want to get buried with God. I want to be immersed with Him. Commit thy works. Now, works are occupation, our actions, our offerings. Whatever we do, we commit that to Him. And our thoughts, our intentions, our plans, our imaginations, our lifestyle is going to be established. It's going to be made sure. Commit us to give ourselves completely with no reserves. As a Christian world today, so many of us commit to a certain degree and that's it. We're just not going to go all the way. We're going to go part way and hope that God is happy and satisfied with us. Because after all, I did commit this part to Him. I still remember a song that the Gospel Echoes sang years ago, Gospel Express. And I'm not exactly sure how this song goes, but the song talks about there's still a room that I haven't given to God. I've given Him everything but that one room. I'm not going to give up that room. That's my room. But when we come to God and we want to commit ourselves to God, we don't keep back a room. We give Him everything. We give Him the keys to the house. And when Satan knocks at the door, we say, "God, somebody's knocking. Would you answer it for me?" We commit.
We totally give ourselves to Him.
I want to ask a question this morning. Let's say you're one of those that has committed. Has it been easy? No. It's not always easy. The Apostle Paul went so far as committing himself to Christ that he was willing to die. Am I so committed that should somebody come through that door this morning and say, for all of those of you who are Christians, would you please stand up? And they had a machine gun in their hands. Am I so committed that I'd be willing to stand up? I know that's scary. But as we commit to God, there should be nothing that holds us back. Nothing. If we want to hear from God, if we want to hear from Him about Friday in a week, and we want to know whose name to put on that ballot, friends, if we want to hear from God, we need to commit ourselves to Him. There's no halfway. There's no part way. I'm going to do this a little bit, and I hope God understands, and He's good with me. No. I'm not here this morning trying to get some of you not to vote. That's not the issue. But I'm here this morning encouraging us. If there's a part of your life that you have not committed, please commit yourself to the Lord. Allow Him to take over everything completely, holding nothing back. And there's beauty in this. As we commit ourselves to God, as we give Him everything we have, there's a fellowship that happens. There's a beauty in that fellowship. It happens with our Maker, that we can fellowship with Him, and all of a sudden it starts happening with those around us. There's a fellowship. There's a glory. There's a beauty there that's just hard to do without. Psalm 37:23 says this, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He, God, delighteth in His way." Did you know that God delights in every single detail of your life? Everything? If you're walking with God, He just loves to see the details, and He wants to be in them. Do you think He wants to be in the details of our ordination? He sure does. He takes pleasure in my life. He takes pleasure in your life. He takes pleasure in all the tiny details. And this is a detail in our congregation here that's very close to the heart of God. Do you know why it's close to the heart of God? Because it's His work. It's not my work. It's not Dana's work. It's not Harold's work or Sheldon's work. It's none of our work. Yeah, we are involved. We're part of His. We're His hands and feet. But it's His work. We are the church together. It's God's work. And we are His hands and feet in this. Now I want to think a little bit about, well, what if I'm somebody that's not walking, that chose not to commit? Is the opposite true? Maybe He finds displeasure in our lives? It's not a good thought. But He does find pleasure in our lives as we commit and walk with Him. I want to read Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 24. And you don't have to turn to this, but it says here, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I understand and I know Jesus, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." When my priorities, my worship, my life is turned towards the Father, that's what's in store for me. There's loving kindness. There's judgment. That's justice. There's righteousness. God delights in this. So what I'm trying for us to understand this morning, I guess, is that there's a foundation we need to lay here. That our hearts have to be directed towards God. This is not something we want to come into just haphazardly. We don't want to come here and just cast a vote because it's the thing to do. We're at ordination time again and now we cast a vote. We got to do it. But let's have our eyes fixed on God. Let's spend time on our knees seeking Him. Let's allow Him to show us who He is calling. I don't believe we can expect to come that Friday night without having sought Him, without having been on our knees in prayer, and maybe fasting. It's a good thing also. But we can't expect to come here and hear from the Holy Spirit if we're not in tune. So I hope we sense the direction long before our meeting. And by the way, there's something else that often we do when we're seeking or when we're seeking discernment. We're trying to find an answer to something. We'll go to a brother or a sister and we'll talk to them about what should we do. But I'm going to encourage you on this. No. We don't go to a brother or a sister. Who do you think? Because this is something I believe we sense with God. I guess I would consider if we're going to go to a brother or sister, we're going to start asking questions and we're going to start working together that way. We'll probably end up gossiping. And that's not what He wants either. But we seek Him. Husbands and wives, seek Him. Seek Him together. Youth, seek Him. Allow Him to speak to you. Then the third word that I have is listen. Listen. You know, there's many times that we come to God. I say we, I'm saying that because it's here. There's many times that we come to God and we ask God, can you do this or can you do that? I need an answer to this. I need an answer to that. And then we turn around and we merrily go on our way and we don't listen. Or maybe we do listen to a degree, but we don't hear. Why are we not hearing? Why are we not listening? To tune into God's voice, we must tune out the world's noise. Sometimes we want to hear the voice of God, and we need to be still. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." To hear the voice of God may require a stillness in our hearts. I'm going to share something Dana mentioned this morning already. What is one of the greatest reasons that we don't have a stillness in our heart? Somebody venture to guess? We're too busy. Oh, but I gotta make a living. I've got things I gotta do. Maybe there's this possibility that we could cut our lifestyle back just a little bit. So we don't have to be so busy. I realize we have bills to pay. I understand that. But am I too busy to spend time with my Father so I can discern what He's asking of me? Am I too busy to get on my knees with my Father? Maybe I go out and I take a walk and I speak to God and allow Him to speak to me. Am I too busy to really take time to hear? To really take time to listen? John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So since He's spirit, He's going to relate to my spirit, and we hear Him. We think of Moses in the Old Testament. All of a sudden, he heard something out of this bush. It was a literal voice. Today, He gave us the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying you can never hear from God. There's people that have talked about hearing God. But I believe one of the ways that we hear from God is as we're committed to Him, as we walk with Him, as we are in communion with Him, then His Spirit speaks into our spirit. And there's a communion there, and we can hear Him. I also believe that maybe sometimes our thinking, He can direct our thinking so we know He directs us through our thinking. That's good too. Maybe we call that intuition. God can direct our intuition. But I challenge us not to make huge decisions like where we're coming to next Friday night without seeking Him. Unless we seek Him, I'm not sure that we can be assured that what we put on that ballot is going to be correct. Let's seek Him. I want to read a couple of verses out of 1 Kings 19. This is the story of Elijah. King Ahab. And I'm not going to relate the whole story. I just want to go into a small part here. But Elijah had just come back from again asking God to make it rain, and it rained, and him and Ahab headed back home. And then Elijah leaves. He finds out that there's somebody angry at him, so he gets scared. And he leaves, and he sends his servant off so his servant isn't hurt. And he goes out into the desert, I believe, for 40 days. And then he ends up coming back to a cave. God directs him back to a certain cave. And as he's in this cave for a while, finally God speaks to him, and he says, "Step outside. I want to talk to you." Verse 11 of 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19 says, "And he said, 'Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord.'" So here God comes and he walks past, and after he walks past, there's this big wind. And it says the rocks were rent. I don't know, were they broke in half? What all happened there? But it was something. But then it says after that, "But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake." And it says, "The Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire." I'm not saying this morning that God doesn't speak to us through those things, but He can. But in this instance, God was not in the fire, the wind, and the earthquake. But then there's something at the end of verse 12. Said, "And after the fire, a still small voice." Are we going to hear that still small voice if we're not listening? We're not going to hear that still small voice unless we are listening. Unless our hearts are in tune. God spoke to him through a still small voice. And I believe God wants to speak to us today. He may have different ways to speak to us, but one of the ways He does speak sometimes is through a still small voice. But it takes us to be quiet before Him to hear that voice. It takes us to lay down our busyness. It takes us to be connected to Him, to hear that still, small voice. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." So I want to challenge us this morning. We've got a lot ahead of us here. It's not a game. It's for real. It's not something we want to take lightly. But it's something that we need to seek the Father about. If we really want to discern His will, it's going to take time on our knees. It's going to take time in the Word. It's going to take time in quietness and listening to Him. Would you stand with me this morning as we pray? God, again, we bless You for hearing us. Lord, You know each one of our conditions here this morning. You know mine. You know where I'm at with You, Father. You know how much time that I spend. Lord, we're not on a point system. But yet, Father, we are on, maybe I shouldn't even call it a system, Lord. But we are where we want to spend time with You. We want to hear from You.
Father, would you give us the grace, the desire, the hunger, Father, to be with you, to hear you. I'm just asking, Lord, that you would just speak into our lives this morning, Lord, as we think about hearing you, as we think about our ordination coming up, Father, that we would be committed, Lord, to letting you do the choosing, to letting you speak into our hearts and give us clear direction. How we bless you. Dismiss us now with your presence. In your name we pray. Amen.